friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Thursday's show is African auto racing. The last Formula One race on the African continent was in 1993 at the Kyalami Grand Prix circuit north of Johannesburg, South Africa. The track has now been renovated in hopes of once again hosting motor racing's top events. Romain Chanson filed this report, narrated by VOA's Carol Gunsberg.
Toby Venter intends to make sure that Formula One racing returns to Africa. The chief executive officer of LSM, which owns the Porsche franchise in South Africa, bought the Kyalami Circuit racetrack at auction in 2014. Venter already knew the track, first as a young spectator and then as a race car driver himself. He describes it from the driver's seat of a Porsche 911 GT3 RS.
Wonderful circuit, driver's circuit, old school circuit, a lot of character.
Kyalami has 4.5 kilometers of track and 16 turns with names like the Crocodiles, the Cheetah, or the Leopard that acknowledge the circuit's African roots. It was built in 1961, but by 2014, when Venter bought the racetrack, it was in major need of repair.
When Kyalami fell into disrepair, it was like a national treasure had gone down, and we wanted to restore it. And we think we've achieved a lot of the magic of the old Kyalami. This is the best option to have a race on the African continent right now.
The renovations were extensive because the track's conditions were so poor, says renovation manager Andrew Baldwin.
The asphalt is, 15, 20 years old, whatever it is. All the safety systems were dilapidated, the guardrails were rusting, the debris fencing was not up to scratch. But really, the facility, I think we're saying, is about 90% ready in terms of being able to host a Formula One race.
Racing's current world champion, Lewis Hamilton, has spoken in favor of a Grand Prix on the African continent without specifying the destination. On the walls of Kyalami, there still is room to write more of the racetrack's history, perhaps the return of Formula One to South Africa. For Romain Chanson in Johannesburg, Carol Gunsberg, VOA News.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Kendra Harrison will be one of the athletes to watch at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, which begin Friday at Hayward Field, located at the University of Oregon in the Northwest United States. To book a trip to Tokyo next month, American athletes must finish in the top three of their event. At the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Team USA dominated the competition, leading all nations with 121 medals, including 46 gold, 37 silver, and 38 bronze. If we break that total down, Team USA won 32 medals in athletics, including 13 gold. Now, one of the American women who will be under the spotlight in Oregon is Allison Felix. She's expected to compete in both the 200 meters and 400 meters at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials. In Rio 5 years ago, Felix took home 3 medals to become the all-time winningest woman in Olympic track and field with 6 gold and 9 Olympic medals overall. Meanwhile, one of Team Nigeria's medal hopefuls in Tokyo is Ese Brume, who competes in the women's long jump. At her first Olympics in Brazil in 2016, Ese finished 5th overall. The 25-year-old Nigerian athlete is coached by Kayode Yaya. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Coach Yaya, What's been the response of Brume and other athletes under your care?
The response to the training has been very encouraging, even though not totally. We have one or two here and there challenges that we have to face and all that. But overall, I think everything is coming great. You know, looking forward to great performances.
Do you see podium performance by some of the athletes and also by other athletes from Team Nigeria?
Talking about podium performance takes a lot, and it's not something you just predict and say this is going to happen. It's just very important for one to remain mentally very focused, mentally very tough, and you know, to keep the head cool and understand the purpose and all that. That's one of the key factor that is responsible for podium performances. Another aspect of training that requires facilities and all kinds of equipment that are necessary to put you to bring out the best out of you. You know, because you may have a lot inside, but bringing out is one of the most important factors. So sometimes facilities and other factors are a key factor. Sometimes too, environmental factor comes in that helps you maintain a strong focus to be in high tune and keeping on and pushing yourself into the next level. So podium performance takes a lot, but just to mention this few. Also, these performances also requires a lot of support system, which we are trying to get, trying to figure out how to get the best of it. So staying support system is a key factor. Talking about support system, talking about finances, which include medical, expenses. Talking about overall health system, ensure the body's working, body's healthy, having chiropractors, masseurs, and other training treatments, which is the key factor also, very important factor. These things don't come easy. So we're trying to ensure we can get the best of them all and see what we can make out of what we have, because if the desirable is not available, the available becomes a desirable. So we're trying to make the very best of what we have. Hopefully what we have will be sufficient enough for us to have a podium finish by the special grace of God.
That's Coyote Yaya, a Nigerian athletics coach. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the Quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Benjamin Azumati will be making his Olympic debut for Team Ghana in Tokyo. Benjamin will compete in three events in Japan, the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100 meters team relay. At the end of March, Benjamin set a Ghana national record, clocking 9.97 seconds for 100 meters at a meet in the southwestern U.S. city of Austin, Texas. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawa Fusularbi has reaction from Accra, Ghana.
Rock comes right up out of the blocks. Next to him, Benjamin Azumati from West Texas A&M running away with this heat from Ghana. It's Azumati winning the heat easily. 9.99, but you got to wait for the wind. We've had some pretty big winds. It's legal. 9.97 with a 1.5 meter per second wind.
When Benjamin Azumati breezed his way past other athletes and over the finish line, he knew he had produced a masterclass. The smile on his face, his ecstatic celebration and general demeanor showed it all. He had just smashed a long-standing Ghanaian 100-meter national record, formerly held by sprinter Leo Miles Mills, a record he set in 1999. It has taken 22 years to beat the national record, and it took a 23-year-old to do it. Azumati grew up in the plains of Achimoda in eastern Ghana and developed a love for the tracks when he enrolled in the Presbyterian Boys Secondary School in Legon, in the capital, Accra. There, he honed his skills before he moved to the University of Ghana, where he obtained a Bachelor of Science degree in Marine Science. At the University of Ghana, Azumati smashed every 100-meter sprint record. He also currently holds the record at the Africa University Games as the fastest sprinter. Azamati is going into the rest of his meets this year with an Olympic ticket in his hand. And he says it is a dream come true for him.
Every athlete wished to run in the Olympic Games. I mean, and then that has been the target for me this season. And that is what I've actually been working towards. So going into the Texas Relays and then to run such a time to qualify for the Olympics, I mean, the target has been achieved, but it's up to me to, you know, go there and then also to perform very well. So the target for this season has actually been achieved.
As Amati says, making the time and breaking the record is huge for him. He bettered his personal best in the race, smashed a long-standing record in the process. His achievements have been well-received back in Accra.
I think it came as a surprise to everyone because going into the race, I had a personal best of 10.32. And then moving from 10.32 to a 9.97 is like a shock to everyone. So I think everybody was surprised and at the same time they were, you know, proud of me. So I had a lot of messages, which I'm not even done replying. But I think everybody was happy and I liked their reaction to it. And not as if they doubted I could, you know, run that time or anything. It's like it's too early for them. And then, you know, that is why they are surprised. And then I'm happy with their reaction because it shows how much, you know, they love whatever that I'm doing. So I'm happy and then I'm glad they have such love for whatever that I'm doing.
There has been a history of Ghanaian sprinters doing well at meets and making excellent qualifying times, but failing to replicate that form at international tournaments. It has accounted for the country's failure to win medals in sprints at the Olympics and other international meets. Azamati hopes he can break that jinx this year.
I think with that, I should say maybe it depends on the individual and whatever that they go through before the races and everything. And then, you know, it's a race and anything at all can happen. I can use myself as an example, the times that I ran. So you wouldn't know what will happen. You can, you know, cramp up or anything due to, you know, warming up well and all that. So I think those are the factors that go into it. So it's not about the person not wanting to perform, but there are certain instances that wouldn't let the person perform. Like, you know, there could be psychological matters and all that. So I think those are the points that maybe we should think about and then consider. But me personally, you know, I just pray I'm healthy and then I'll be able to go in there and then run good.
The 23-year-old is Ghana's undisputed sprint star, and it will take some running to beat his current 9.97 national record. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Futulabi in Accra.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including President Biden's European trip and his first face-to-face meeting with Russian leader Vladimir Putin in Geneva. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday from the Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Randy Waldrum and the Super Falcons of Nigeria lost Wednesday night to the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team 2-0 in Austin, Texas. Kristen Press and Lynn Williams scored goals at the end of each half for the American women, who are now unbeaten in 42 consecutive matches. The USA also maintained its perfect record against Nigeria, improving to 6-0 all time against the Super Falcons. The game was played in front of a sold-out crowd of more than 20,000 at the new Q2 Stadium in Austin. And the match was the finale of the USA's summer series as the American women tune up for the Tokyo Olympics. The USA is bidding for a fifth Olympic gold medal in women's football in Japan. The American women beat Portugal 1-0 in its opening match in the summer series, and then defeated Jamaica 4-0. The Super Falcons of Nigeria, meanwhile, drew 3-3 with Portugal and lost to Jamaica 1-0. All of the matches were played in Texas, which, by the way, is the home state of Nigeria's head coach, Randy Waldrum.
This is the voice of America.
Italy, Wales, and Russia all scored victories Wednesday at the European Football Championship. In Rome, the Italians beat Switzerland 3-0 to advance to the round of 16. Manuel Locatelli had two goals as the Italians locked up a place in the knockout round with a game to spare. In Baku, Azerbaijan, Real Madrid star Gareth Bale set up both goals, scored by Aaron Ramsey and Connor Roberts, as Wales beat Turkey 2-0. And in St. Petersburg, Alexei Marinchuk scored for Russia, which beat Finland 1-0.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association playoff action Wednesday night, the Atlanta Hawks and the Los Angeles Clippers both scored victories. The Hawks spread their wings and rallied from a 26-point deficit to stun the Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Trae Young kicked a late fourth-quarter rally as the Hawks took the lead in the best-of-seven Eastern Conference semifinal series with a 109-106 win over the 76ers. Down by 14, Young scored 11 points during a 21-6 run. Young made three foul shots with 1:26 to play that gave the Hawks a 105-104 lead.
Early on, we were missing a lot of open shots, and it was one of those first halves again, and hopefully we shoot a lot better at home than we did tonight.
Young had a game-high 39 points for the Hawks, who took a 3-2 lead in their best-of-seven series. Joel Embiid had 37 for the Sixers. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. The Hawks will now try to close out the series on Friday night in Atlanta, Georgia. The head coach of the Hawks is Nate McMillan.
We have to get one more win, and closing a series is always tough. But, you know, as I just said, you know, you can't get too high. You know, when you win, we know there's a lot more work to do. And, you know, we look forward to going back to our building and playing.
In Salt Lake City, Utah, the Los Angeles Clippers were victorious Wednesday night, and they're now one win away of advancing to the next round of the NBA playoffs. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Clippers have taken a 3-2 lead in the Western Conference semifinals by earning their third straight win over the Jazz, 119-111. Paul George carried the load with 37 points and 16 rebounds.
Believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T-Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment, and we just played our hearts out.
Los Angeles played without forward Kawhi Leonard because of a knee injury suffered in Game 4. Marcus Morris scored 25 points, and Reggie Jackson added 22 for the Clippers, who shot 51% from the field. The Jazz made a team-record 10 three-pointers in the first quarter, but led by just one at the end of the period. Bojan Bogdanovic had 9 trays and 32 points for Utah. I'm Dave Ferry.
In more NBA news, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Washington Wizards are looking for new head coaches. Once again, here's Dave Ferry.
Two more NBA head coaches have parted company with their teams. Scott Brooks won't be returning to the Wizards, who made the playoffs three times in his 5 years at the helm. Washington won his play-in game this year and was promptly knocked out by the 76ers in five games. The Wizards were 183-207 under Brooks. Stan Van Gundy was given just one season to coach the Pelicans before the two sides mutually agreed to part. New Orleans went 31-41 to finish 11th in the Western Conference, two games out of a play-in berth. The Pelicans had the eighth worst defense in the league this season following a truncated training camp. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave.
This is Natasha Cummings Price, head coach for the International Women's Basketball Team of Cameroon and the Erie Community College Women's Basketball Coach. You are listening to Sunnyside Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Thanks, Tatiana, and good luck at the Paralympics in Japan. Tatiana McFadden will be competing for Team USA at the Paralympics. Turning to tennis, Spanish star Rafael Nadal has pulled out of Wimbledon and the Tokyo Olympics. In a statement on Twitter Thursday, Rafa wrote, and I quote, "It's never an easy decision to take, but after listening to my body and discussing it with my team, I understand that it's the right decision." The 35-year-old Nadal says the two-week gap between the French Open and Wimbledon, which starts on June 28th, was not enough time for him to recuperate after a demanding clay court season in which he played five tournaments. Nadal has won a record 13 titles on the clay courts of Roland Garros in Paris. He advanced to the semifinals at this year's tournament, losing a four-set thriller to eventual champion Novak Djokovic. It was Djokovic's 19th major title, leaving him one behind Rafa and Roger Federer, who jointly share the record for most Grand Slam singles titles by a male player. Now, Rafa has won two gold medals at the Olympics, a singles title in 2008 in Beijing, China, and a doubles gold in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where he was the flag bearer for Spain. Rafa says, and I quote once again, "The Olympic Games always meant a lot, and they were always a priority as a sports person. I found the spirit that every sports person in the world wants to live. I personally had the chance to live three of them and had the honor to be the flag bearer for my country."
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, There is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Thanks, Catherine, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the U.S. Olympic track and field trials begin Friday in the northwestern U.S. state of Oregon. One athlete who hopes to book a ticket to Tokyo is Chloe Abbott. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with this profile of the American sprinter. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Friday, four-time All-American Chloe Abbott will literally chase after her dream of becoming an Olympian. Abbott will compete in the 400-meter race, and she tells Reuters News her running ambitions began in high school as a sibling rivalry.
I actually knew I was fast when I beat my sister. That's the truth. So sad. Like, all of my greatness and confidence came from beating my sister, Alexa. It's sad. But I beat her, and I beat her in a 400, and that was my sophomore year as well. And ever since then, like, I was known as the better sister, and I kind of just rocked with it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm the best now. And then, of course, you know, my coaches would tell me, you can run so fast. And so I just, like, believed in what they told me, and I just kind of, like, went with it.
And while she hopes to lead the pack in the 400 meters, Abbott says she's also following in the footsteps of her idol, six-time Olympic gold medalist Allyson Felix.
Allyson Felix is one of my biggest inspirations that I aspire to achieve to be like outside of the track, just because of what she does off the field and the things she speaks about for women and track athletes all around the globe. She's just an inspiration.
In 2019, Abbott graduated from the University of Kentucky as an NCAA runner-up and with a degree in theater and vocal performance in hand. Initially, Abbott thought she would go into a career in the arts, but her shift from the stage to the track has led her to a potential spot on Team USA. But the Olympic hopeful says she still makes time to nurture her artistic side.
I would describe my music as R&B and contemporary. I just love the sounds of guitars. I love the sounds of like somber piano, but not like sad somber, but like very much vibed out somber. It's hard to explain. But yeah, I would describe my music as R&B and soul, contemporary, a little modern, but I can definitely give you a little old classic too if you want it.
Abbott has managed to successfully merge the arts and athletics. She recently signed with the Swiss sportswear company On that has given their full support to her blended passions. In fact, Abbott composed and performed an original song for a promotional video with her new sponsor. And whether or not she makes her Olympic debut this summer, Abbott says she plans to return to her craft.
Right now, yes, the Olympic trials and the Olympics takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And so I've learned that right now I have to focus on the track aspect and not so much the music right now. So, but after 5 months, after like these next 5-6 months, I'm going to get back into it. And when the Olympic trials and the Olympics aren't like the biggest focus right now, it's never that difficult. You know, I always make time for voice lessons. I always make time for acting lessons. I always make time to study my craft. And so after these next 5 months, no. But for these next 5 months, yeah, because I got to focus.
Last month, Abbott finished fifth at a track meet in the state of California and will face tough odds at Friday's Olympic trials. Her biggest challenger will most likely be her biggest idol, Allyson Felix, who is scheduled to compete in the 400 and 200 meters. The women will need to finish in the top three of their events to book their ticket to Tokyo. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Chloe Abbott and the American athletes are lacing up their track spikes in Oregon with the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics, now 36 days away. And that up the June 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.